Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Boulder Creek Community Church Online. If you are not sure who I am, my name is Adam, and I am the pastor here. And I've been so thrilled to be a part of this community, even though it has been online since I first began. And that's why I'm so excited, because next week on June 7th, we will be able to gather together for the very first time since I've been your pastor here at Boulder Creek Community Church. I'm outside in the space where we plan to meet next week, and we will have tables and chairs set up, and they will be spaced out so that we will respect all of the social distancing requirements by the County of Santa Cruz. Now, you can tell that being outside, there's some extra noise going on, and we're right on Highway 9, so we've got constant traffic going by. But it is worth it, nevertheless, for us to be able to gather again outside together. Now, some of you might not be ready for that, and that is okay. I want to honor and respect that. Please don't come if you think it will cause you some undue anxiety, or if you are susceptible or you have conditions that would make you susceptible to the COVID-19 virus. Now, I do want to encourage you to bring masks. They are not required, but it may give you a level of comfort, especially as we sing and worship God together. Now, since this is our last online-only service, I have a special treat for you, Boulder Creek Community Church. I've invited, as a guest speaker today, your former pastor of 41 years, Mike Miller. Now, I got to tell you, Mike doesn't remember, I don't think, but about 11 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, he and I met in Scotts Valley for coffee because he was looking for a part-time associate pastor. At the very same time, I was contacted by Ceres Christian Church out in the Central Valley, and they were interested in me for a full-time position. And so given where I was in life, it just made more sense to pursue a full-time position. And I'm so glad I did, because my 9 years out in Ceres was just so beneficial to me, and I think also to the church. We have lifelong friends and people that have greatly blessed and impacted my life, as well as my family's. And I got to tell you, man, I am kind of the antithesis of Mike Miller. I have bounced around. I have moved around. I've served God in many different countries for short periods. And my wife and I, in 27 years of marriage, we have moved 22 times. And then here's a guy like Mike Miller, just steady. 41 years, one community, one house, lived and served God faithfully for so long. And I have just so much respect and so much honor for guys like that. When I was in Bible college in my young and mid-20s, that is what I had perceived my future would be like, serving in one place for a long period of time. And God just had other plans for the Millers, the Adam Millers, and different than what he had for the Mike Millers. And so, man, what an honor to be able to have him come and share with us today. I'm so grateful that I get to step in to the shoes, fill his shoes that he wore for 41 years. And Mike, if you're listening to this, let me tell you, my greatest fear, the thing that keeps me up at night, the thing that gives me anxiety, is keeping up what you did with the church sign. That sign has had a tremendous impact in this community. We are known as the church with the sign, and so many people, even people that have never come onto this campus, know about the sign and appreciate the messages that you have put up for many, many years. And so pray for me as I try to come up with not only clever, sometimes humorous, but quotes, sayings that have truth and depth and meaning to them. But before we get into the message and the service today, James is going to lead us in some worship about the greatness of God. And so I thought before he leads us in some worship that I would read a psalm to you about the greatness of God. This comes from Psalm 145. And David here is exalting God, extolling God. To extol someone is to elevate them, to put them in a position, an elevated position of honor and of respect. And our God deserves in all the universe to be extolled, to be put in that position of honor and respect and worship. And he deserves that in our own lives as well. And so listen to Psalm 145. I exalt you, my King, my God, the King. I praise your name forever and ever. Every day I praise you, I extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim the great deeds they celebrate. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Hello, everybody. It's really good to be talking to you today. I wish I could be there in person and enjoy seeing you. But this is how we do it now. And I was really excited to get the invitation from Adam to have a chance to say something to you. We really appreciate Adam and Jennifer. They're doing great. They're just great people. And Anita and I have prayed for them. And we know the community and we know the church. And we're just praying that God would use them and that you would welcome them and accept them and follow their leadership. It's an honor to speak to you, and it's humbling to speak at such an important time as going through this pandemic and all the things that seem to be happening and all the confusion. And so I was excited at the chance, and so here I am. A little bit about Anita and I. We've been on quite a journey since our retirement and have gone through many changes, and it's been stressful. Every change you go through, major change, brings stress, and we went through a lot of changes all at once. And we retired after a long ministry, sold our home that our two children were born and grew up in, and we sold our home and we've moved, and we had to live with my son for a few months because the house we had lined up fell through the fault of the owners. They weren't quite ready. And so we had to move in and with Jonathan and make do. And I wasn't at all comfortable with that. I just didn't want to, you know, I just wanted to do that. So anyway, then I'd gotten sick for several weeks, months, I think. And so that was kind of a challenge. And I feel like I'm doing much better, though I still cough, which I guess that's the nature of the beast. We miss our daughter and her family a great deal. And it's hard to keep up with them. And we've been busy trying to find a church home, which we've never had a hard time doing that because I've always been employed by a church. So, but it's a challenge to go and try to find something that matches you. And then entered lockdown and you can't go to church and you have to watch them from home. And that's just not the same. And it's been kind of an interesting time. We've truly enjoyed our granddaughter Samantha, though there were a few weeks there where we weren't allowed to have contact. And that was very hard, feeling very overwhelming. We've missed you a great deal, more than I thought we would. Not that a bad thing, but I just thought, I don't know. But you were our home and you were our family. And so it's been kind of hard being away. But I want to say one good thing is I'm really glad that it's Adam dealing with this, trying to do church in online and not meet face to face, and not me. I think it might have been a little too old for that kind of task, the energy that's required. And I know how he must feel because we're just wired to do church. So just bless him. And I think you're opening next week or something, so maybe that'll be good to start getting together. Well, I wanted to chat a little bit if I could, and I don't know how long I'll go. I haven't preached for a while, so you never know. But try not to be too long. But I want to talk from a passage in the book of Philippians. I'll read it, chapter 2, starting with verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. It's one of my favorite passages in the book of Philippians. I wanted to talk a little bit about what is God doing during this time. It is a crazy time. And I thought it'd be important to sort of chat just a little bit about some things that I think he is doing. And the first thing I want us to see that comes from this passage is God is working. I'm sure you've wondered what God is doing in this season of COVID-19. Pretty much everybody has, and there's been a lot of speculation. I mean, you look on Facebook and on YouTube, all the sermons, all the ideas from ministers to theologians to social workers to psychologists and political junkies, they're all talking about what is happening, what's God doing. And some think that God's not working at all because the church is not meeting. So he's probably sheltering in place in heaven or working from home or these kind of crazy ideas. But I want you to understand that God is working. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 17, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Jesus was speaking to some religious people at a time when they thought God wasn't doing anything. And Jesus clarifies, God is working. and his work is me. I'm working now. Romans 8:28. In all things, God works. In all things, all situations, all circumstances, in times of great illness, in times of great fear, in times of sheltering in place, in all situations, God works. In Job 34, verse 20, from the Message translation, I love how he translates the last line of that verse. God is working behind the scenes. And he's talking about all these things that are happening, and yet behind the scenes, the hand of God is working. And God is working behind the scenes now. He is working. He is busy. Things are happening because he is working behind the scenes. One of my favorite passages, I have many favorite passages, Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. Because of God's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. A sure sign that God is working is when you get up in the morning and the sun's coming up again. I love to get up early, and I don't know, that may be part of it. Just, okay, another day. God's still working, and he's working by showing new mercy every day. God is always working. He's never stopped. His work, and in fact, he himself, are always essential. If God ever stopped what he is doing, we would really be in a mess. We would disintegrate. Just because his church is not meeting, doesn't mean he has stopped working. And a little sidebar, the church is not closed. They're just not meeting in their buildings. Churches all over the planet are meeting, are communicating. Churches everywhere. And we're all uptight about this, not being able to meet. And I miss it too. But I think that's kind of selfish, because really the prayer shouldn't be let us meet only, but it also include prayer. How can we serve our communities? Because that's what the church is here for. Many are concerned about people who just want to shut the church down. And I think this is part of the agenda on the part of politicians and governors and mayors and all that. And I don't know, it might be. But I feel like that is such an impossible thing to do. The government has never been able to stop the church in countries where being a Christian is illegal. Right now, in a country where being a Christian is considered illegal, China has one of the largest Christian populations in the world. So you're not going to stop the church. You may cause the church to go underground. You may cause the church to do other things. But the church is always busy. Jesus says, evil will never overcome the church. The church started without buildings, and it did just fine. So don't panic. And we miss it. I miss it. I miss going to church, taking notes during the sermon. I miss singing those songs. But I would really miss God not working. What are some of the things that God is doing? Well, I don't claim to know everything he's doing. I don't have the gift of prophecy, and I have no idea what he's doing. Most of the people that say they have the gift of prophecy, I don't think do, but I see a few things that I think God is doing, and I'm sure there are others that he has not chosen to let me know, because it's probably none of my business. I think more people are tuning in and hearing the gospel than ever before. He is busy making the gospel more available. Every church that is using online capabilities, and that's pretty much everyone, because it's free to do just a basic service, has more people listening to their online sermons than ever before. Even small little churches that run under 100 people are discovering more people are tuning in and listening to the sermons. Churches are forced to go online, something that many people think the internet and YouTube and Facebook are evil and the church didn't have anything to do with it, yet now they are becoming tools in the hands of God to spread the gospel. I think it's pretty exciting, the capabilities that are now available to us. And no one is trying to stop the message. No one's interfering with the gospel going out. And I think it is a time when people are looking for help and they are frightened, they're overwhelmed, they're turning to God for answers and hope because everything they trust in is crumbling around them. I have a friend down here who has talked about how many meaningful conversations she's had with people about God. And it's because they're so interested because they're looking for something to help them. I think God is also revealing to people how weak they really are and that they do need help. We are so focused on how strong we are and how capable we are, and yet now we are experiencing the work of a virus that is totally invisible to us, but it has shut everything down. It has brought people to their knees. We are powerless and we need God in our life, and many people are realizing that worldwide. It is so amazing. We are not invincible. I think God is also revealing what a strong need we have for community. Many preachers want us to get back together to meet publicly in our churches, and I agree with that. But it's important to realize, and hopefully churches do, the major need we have for community. We are struggling. People are struggling all over the world because we're in a shelter in place. We're not allowed out of our homes for the most part, though some countries are experimenting with that. We are still cut off from our loved ones. And we are experiencing some serious problems. Domestic violence is up. More and more calls to law enforcement because of that. Suicide is rising because people see no way out of this. Addiction is on the rise because people are spending so much time alone. And the temptation is too strong and they're going back to what they were addicted to. They're going back to using. And it's a devastating problem. Loneliness is a huge problem. A huge problem. People are so lonely. I noticed we were. I mean, our daughter-in-law stopped by and just on our front porch one day to drop off something and pick up something. And we kept talking to her, just staying and talk to us. We haven't seen anybody. And it was just, I was thinking about it like, man, we really do feel cut off and seeing a face come to our door. I mean, it could have been the UPS guy and we would have done the same thing. Stay and talk. People are suffering in large scales with depression. Now, when I go to the doctor, that's some of the routine questions. How are you handling loneliness? Are you feeling depressed? And all these questions to determine if I'm safe at home. And I'm thinking, okay, if I don't stop leaving things out, I won't be. Anita gets annoyed about that. These problems are dealt with by being a part of a community. I mean, we can come to a service weekly and still not touch these kinds of problems. We need a small group to be a part of, a community, a group of people who care about one another, who will pray together, who will encourage one another, support one another. That's such a crucial element. And this shelter in place has revealed that to all of us in a major way. I think the last obvious sign of indicator of God is working, or in the last area that God is working in, He is finishing what He started. Have you ever thought about that? How many projects do you have around your house that just aren't finished? Even in sheltering in place, when you're at home, you may have tackled some of those. But we just learned that it's good enough. For God, He is so different. It's not good enough until it's finished. Jesus, His last words on the cross were, "It is finished," in His final statements. It's done. Because they finish, the triune God finishes what He starts. And God is finishing the work He began. He's finishing the work He began in the church. In Philippians, Paul opens his letter, and in chapter 1, he says, God will continue the work He has begun in you, and He will complete it. This church started, we talked about it in the book of Acts, with three key people, a businesswoman who was wealthy, a correction officer who ran the jail, and a slave girl who was involved in demonic activity. And that was the course of the church. And it grew and blossomed into a stronger church. And Paul said, the work God began, He will finish. And that's a word to you, Boulder Creek. That's a word to you. That the work He started in you, He will finish. Even in this strange time when you haven't been allowed to meet and you're missing everybody and you just feel lost and unconnected, and Boulder Creekers aren't much for reaching out to other people, so you've just cut all of that off. Even in this time, God is continuing the work. And you've seen signs of it. When I retired and stepped away, God continued the work through our sister church and good friends, Twin Lakes. And then God continued the work by helping your church find Adam and bring him in. And He's continuing the work. God will finish what He started. But this is also true, I think, individually. God does not just give people salvation when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and tell them just to hang on, and when you die, you get to go to heaven. And that's not God's plan at all. It's never been His plan. He gives us salvation, and He plants salvation in our heart, and He plants the Holy Spirit in our heart, and He is developing us to be like Christ while we're here on earth. And the second point is, God is working not worldwide only, but also God is working in us. Even in this time of pandemic, even in this time of sheltering in place, God is working in us. This is God the Holy Spirit. God is working in us to want. He's working in you both to want and to do what He wants. This sheltering in place has been an interesting time. For me, it has, and for Anita and I, and I bet it has for you as well. We look at this shelter in place with words like, this is boring. We're being deprived of our rights. We're stuck. We're waiting to get out, to get back to what we had, to get back to what we were. But God sees it as an opportunity to work in people's lives. As you've been sheltering in place, I bet you have seen some things about yourself. Things that are rising to the surface, some of them you didn't really know about, or some of them you sort of knew about, but you had sort of buried them. And these are sort of, over this months that we've been locked in, you're seeing this stuff rise to the surface. Maybe some marriage issues that you've just kind of buried, and because you've been so busy, you've never really had to deal with it. But now, here you sit with him, with her. And you're like, oh my gosh, do you have to chew that loud? Do you have to swallow that loud? Do you have to leave your clothes all over? And those kinds of things are symptoms of bigger issues. Maybe you've been noticing how you are very fearful, more fearful than you thought. Or maybe you've seen that you really do worry a lot. Fear and worry go hand in hand, and you're just scared and you're worrying, you're spinning all the what ifs. And maybe you notice how angry you are, or how bitter you are. Maybe you're seeing that your faith is struggling. You're not really trusting God. You're not really relying on Him. You're not really committing yourself to Him for His will to happen, His plan to happen. Maybe you've noticed that you're not really praying that much, and when you do, it's the same old prayer. Maybe you've seen some habits start to develop that you're not proud of. And all these kinds of things, and there may be many more, I don't know, but they're rising to the surface. I think this is God at work in you. He's saying, if He were to speak out loud, since we're here, since you can't go anywhere, since you can't go to work, let's work on this. And you're saying, absolutely not. I'm not working on that stuff. That doesn't sound like fun. I want to see a miracle. I want to see you heal people who are dying of COVID. And come on, that's more important. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Oh, no. You know, let's do big stuff. But the biggest thing is to change a life. And now you're sheltering in place and you can't avoid God. You might run from God, but you can't get away from God. You can't outrun God. He is right there. The Holy Spirit is right there with you. And we all have struggles and frustrations. And these are the things that God wants to focus on. And the thing that we pray and beg God to remove is the very thing that God wants to use in your life right now. He's not going to deal with everything in your life, but just maybe one or two things that seem to be like it's time to work on this. They're the most pressing. And what He does in your life can be totally different than what He's doing in somebody else's life. We don't want to make everybody the same. Well, He's doing this in my life, so I bet He's doing it in your life. Well, maybe not. And God is simply trying to make some adjustments. He's trying to use this, as one old Bible preacher used to refer to it, heavenly sandpaper. And He's trying to just smooth off the rough edges and mold you and make you and conform you into the image of His Son. He's trying to make you like Christ. And this is a lifetime work. When He's done making you like Christ, you are done and will go home. Whatever mode you go home, however you pass on from this life, that's important and that's tragic and all that, but it's you're done and it's time to go home. I think it's on us to understand that this process, big word, sanctification, but this process of transforming us, transforming what He has put in you at salvation, working it out into your everyday life, becoming more and more like Christ, is our working with God. He is taking the initiative. The Holy Spirit causes you to begin to feel like you want to be more like Christ. You want to make these changes. You want your anger to be dealt with. You want your loneliness. You want your struggles, your personal relationship issues to be ironed out and be better. so you feel that. I want to make this better. I think the Holy Spirit gives us that desire. And you say, okay, I surrender to that. Help me to know how to start changing and working on this. How can I apologize? How can I confess it? How can I repent? How can I get a grip? How can I gain victory? Whatever it might be. And when you surrender to that and start saying yes, then the Holy Spirit starts giving you that spiritual strength, the grace you need to move forward and make changes. This is what Paul refers to when he says, work out your salvation. Work out what's happening in you. Work it out into your everyday life. It takes work. It takes energy. It's hard. It's tiring. It takes prayer. But when God says it's time, the Holy Spirit says it's possible. And this is God's good purpose for you, to make you like Christ. And we respond with, well, I don't know. There's so much more for you to be doing right now. Work on this world. It's a mess. Work on the government. It's crumbling. It's a wreck. Work on getting our church open. And God says, if he were to speak out loud to you, he's saying, don't worry about all that. I got it. Right now, I'm doing that and I'm changing you. God can multitask very easily. I mean, have you noticed the government scrambling because of all this chaos? Some of it they're creating, but God's busy. He is busy on so many places. And instead of trying to figure it out, it's like just going to a movie and getting a seat and just watching it unroll. It could be pretty interesting. The last thing I want to say, third point, don't work against God's work. Don't work against God's work. Verse 14 talks about this grumbling and complaining. I think working against God's work happens when we waste this opportunity. When we waste these opportunities to work on the things that God is bringing to our attention, we're wasting it. If we're going to come out of this sheltering place and be just the same as when we went in, we're wasting the opportunity. God himself, the Holy Spirit, is taking the time to work in our life. And we should be humbled enough to say, whatever, boy, thank you, I need the help. But sometimes we waste it by rejecting it. We work against God when we grumble and complain. And it's sort of like Paul is writing to this church and he says, look, don't be a grumbling and complaining group of people. Don't be a cantankerous, bitter community. It is so popular, I think, to respond to life and to not having the things we want, not getting things to go our way, by grumbling and complaining. Grumble, grumble, complain, complain, whine, whine. We grumble about so many things. The government, because they're trying to control us. They're trying to stop our church. There's not enough food. When will we get more toilet paper? When will we get more hand sanitizers? Why can't we go to the beach? Every time we go, we get a ticket or a citation or whatever happens to us. And what about those people who aren't obeying shelter in place? They're out there, they don't have a mask, they're doing whatever they want, and why don't you get them? And grumble, grumble, complain, complain, gripe, gripe. God wants us, his Christian people, to become a community of loving, changing people. Group of people who are loving one another, and they're changing because of the work of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be a people who are blameless, not perfect, but no glaring weakness. He wants to be us a people who are pure, not sinless, but not contaminated by sin and compromise, to be as honest and sincere as we can in our faith and in following Jesus. And he wants us to be children of God. It's just like when we have Samantha over, we look at her, and I guess we're just wired to do this. We see different people. Like, she looks like a Miller. She looks like Avery when she was a baby, or she looks... And I'm just thinking, man, I hope she doesn't get any of my looks. That would be horrible. But we just look. And I remember when I was a kid, people would say, you look like Frank Miller's son. And that's how they would identify you. And that was sort of a stamp of approval. Okay, you're good because you look like Frank's son. Okay, great. Well, God wants us to remind people of God. That's what he wants. And it's not an ego thing. It's just this humble being like a child of God. And we're in this place he calls a crooked, perverse generation. The world is crooked and depraved and far from God. And God wants his people right in the middle of all that. And he wants us to be different, because he's working in our life and changing us. He wants us to be blameless and pure and like children of God in this crooked generation. Not being like the crooked people, but being a contrast to them. Showing people this is what God does. And we will shine like stars in this crooked generation. We will be like light in the darkness. We will help make a difference. We won't jump on the bandwagon for all these crazy things that are going on, but we will be solid, reasonable, godly people right in the mix. And God will use us to influence people, impact them with God's love and grace, so they will become followers of Jesus Christ. So, what is God doing? God is working. He's not working from home. What he does is totally essential. He's getting the gospel out in a greater way than ever. He's showing people their need for him by seeing everything they have crumble. He's calling Christians to church, to work in community and build loving support groups within the church so that we will be loved and cared for and supported. And he's finishing the work he started. And that church is his. That work is in his church and in individual people. And we need to work with God when he's working in us, molding us to be more like Christ. And we don't want to work against him by grumbling and complaining. We want to be positive and hopeful because of who we serve. And we want to shine like light in a crooked generation. Wow, thank you so much. What an honor to speak. And hopefully something here has been helpful to you or encouraging or supportive. I just want to pray and end our time. Father, bless us. Continue to bless us as you have been. Continue to provide for us as you have been so faithful. I pray we would all be open to you working in our life and working out changes in our life. And working with you so that the changes are the ones you want, not just something we come up with. And help Boulder Creek to continue to be a light in this community. Help them to be a loving community that cares for one another and works together, is mindful of one another. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you would use Adam to serve and lead this church in exactly the way it needs to be done. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy. Help us to stay focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen.